Christine St. Clair is in studio with us, one of the finest soccer players in the world, and the best to come out of this country ever. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Long day for you, but an important day, isn't it? This is something that means very very much to you, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Tell us how you got involved with A&W and Burgers to Beat MS.
Yeah, so this is my second year involved with the Burgers to Beat MS. And yeah, my mom was diagnosed with MS over 30 years ago. And yeah, I just see the fight that she's gone through, the fight that my family's gone through during that time. And yeah, I wanted to help in any way I could.
And we're going to tell folks where you're going to be a little later today. It is a busy day. A&W's got great burgers and the root beer float. In fact, it's one of the last restaurants when I was a kid. You could drive, like they used to have the car. You could park your car and they'd bring the food out to you in the parking lot.
That I don't remember sweet. That.
For late,
you're too young. You're too young.
I'm not implying that you're my age. That's the furthest thing I
was
doing.
They were on rollerblades back then, were they?
They were not. And you're, you know, there's so much to talk about with Canada and soccer and the Women's World Cup next year in France. New coach obviously leading you in that tournament, but you're having a great season in Portland too, leading goal scorer, the third place team right now. I know you went to school there and you've really made that a second home, if not a first home. Why has that worked so well for you, that community and being embraced there and you embracing it back? What's been great about Portland for you?
Yeah, I think Portland's a very unique city, a unique soccer city, especially in the U.S. I mean, my university team, we used to average over 5,000 fans per game. And then to take that to the professional side, we average, 17,000 per game.
Amazing.
Which is more than some MLS teams.
Is it the best NWSL supported team attendance-wise? It's pretty close, right? It's top three?
Oh, it's number one.
It's easily number one?
By about 10,000 people.
Okay. Well, we'll try and maximize the attendance at the other places then in North Carolina. And Seattle must do well, though, because that's the Sounders went in there, and that was a big hit.
Yeah, but
it's a great rivalry.
Unfortunately, their women's team isn't associated with the Sounders. So
oh, they're not? Okay, I didn't know that. They're independently owned then?
Yeah, we don't really like them. So
I didn't say you did.
So why don't we like them?
No, it's just
Pacific Northwest,
okay. Portland, Seattle, the men's side, the women's side.
I mean,
side.
It's, nice. Yeah, Hugh, do you think if Canada can't win next year's World Cup, Christine wants to see the Americans win the 20? No, she doesn't.
Well, no, maybe. No, no. Absolutely.
Not ever.
No way.
Never.
No.
No.
Unacceptable. So you're talking about like in North America, again, 17,000. I mean, how does that blend into happening in the other places where it's not right now? How does it grow?
It is growing. So this is the sixth year that this league has been around, and every year the attendance has grown league-wide. But Portland, it's just a unique city, a unique atmosphere. But yeah, I mean, that's one of my goals is to help grow this league, the NWSL. And, you know, I've been a part of a previous league that folded after 3 years, and that's just unacceptable. So, you know, just got to keep plugging away and it'll grow slowly.
It's still really young, isn't it? I mean, even the MLS is really young, and a lot of people predicted doom and gloom. It started up right after the 94 World Cup, and a lot of people, there was a lot of flux with franchise. Look how long it took a city like Toronto to get a team. It took 13 years after the MLS started for someone to say, hey, it might work in Toronto. And as much dysfunction as there was and as much losing as there was, there still was a hardcore fan base that's really enjoyed it, obviously, the last 3 years where there's been success. It takes time to build something.
It takes a lot of time. And, you know, hopefully the next step in our professional league is to get a Canadian team, whether that's Toronto, Vancouver, Montreal.
Are you surprised it hasn't happened yet?
I actually am.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like Canadians really love the women's national team. I believe there's the support for the team. You know, you look at the men's teams in Vancouver and Montreal, Toronto. I mean, they're successful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What city do you think it would work best in out of those three you mentioned, Vancouver, Toronto, Montreal?
I don't know. I mean, the Vancouver part of me would say there. but no, I don't know. It's just whoever's willing to invest long-term in the women's side of the game and know that they might lose some money at the start, but are still willing to support.
Last time we saw you was just after the announcement that John Herdman was leaving for the men's team, which kind of caught a lot of people by surprise. I get some were upset. How's the transition been? How are we now in looking back at what happened?
Yeah, I think still in transition. You know, Kennett, he's an amazing coach. He's done wonders with us over the few months that he's been in charge, and we can't wait to just spend more time with him. You know, I think this qualification tournament coming up in October will be massive for us, just to be able to spend almost a month together and really get to know him and how he operates as a head coach. But it's going pretty well.
Christine Sinclair is our guest in studio. You can find Christine at the A&W at 369 Spears Road in Oakville, noon to 2 today, and in Brampton, 120 Brickyard Way, from 4:30 to 6:15. Root beer floats for a minimum $2 donation, and you can meet, obviously, a soccer legend in Christine Sinclair. You can follow the hashtag, by the way, Burgers to Beat MS. That's Burgers to Beat MS on social media today as well. World Cup next summer, 268 caps. When I say that, it's sort of like everyone says, well, it'll just all sink in when my career is finally over. But when you started playing with the national team, like I always asked actors this, and I'm like, when do you feel like you've made it? And they're like, you never really do until you're done. Well, you've made it. But when I say 268 caps, does it sort of blow your mind? That's a ton of international appearances. And when you started, was that even feasible? Was that even something you ever thought of?
No, not at all. I mean, you say that number, I didn't even know what the number was.
And 173 goals. Put that in on 268 games.
A lot of games. But when I first joined the national team, I looked at someone like a Charmaine Hooper or Andrea Neal that had been on the team for 15 years and maybe accumulated like 60 caps. So the thought of reaching the numbers that I have didn't even seem possible. But it just goes to show the growth of the game, obviously worldwide, but especially here in Canada. It's been amazing to be a part of.
Mm-hmm. Now, the other numbers that coincide with those, with the caps, are where Canada has been and where we are now and what our expectations of you. You talk about that tournament, very different from when you started and what you hope for when you're going into a tournament like this now.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we head into any tournament now with the expectation that we're going to win. Right now, the U.S. are the number one team in the world, and that's the title we want to take from them over the next couple of years. So we've got two major tournaments coming up, and hopefully we can do that.
And it's good and bad in a way. It's like when you were when Canada was entering World Cups, it feels like every World Cup there's more nations that can win. This is a struggle, as you'd know, with women's hockey right now. Is as good as other nations have gotten, Canada and the USA have accelerated as well, right? Fitness is better, training is better, there's more infrastructure, there's more money put in. But when we see the women's game, like obviously the England team that played you guys in 15, that wasn't possible a decade earlier for England to be that good, for Italy to be getting better. There's still European nations that are just, some are just a lot quicker than others to embrace the women's game and put the infrastructure around it. But there's a lot more teams that can win the World Cup now, aren't there?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you look at, for instance, the European Championships, I think they're held last year, and Holland won out of the blue.
Yeah,
Knocking off teams like, you know, Germany and England and Norway, the perennial powers over there. The game's changing, and a lot of these countries are putting in the support and the financial backing for their women's teams, and the sky's the limit for those teams. You look at in England, I mean, the support that they're now getting, I mean, it's going to be scary where they're going to be in a couple of years.
And Premier League teams are starting. Not every Premier League team, like you know with the Seattle thing, not every Premier League team is putting the same amount of emphasis on their women's team. But a lot of the big clubs are starting to is really recruit players, bring them up, train them in an academy-type format like the men were 20, 30 years ago, and it's making a difference, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And then, I mean, they have like an unlimited budget pretty much for signing players. And you think of like a Manchester United, they now have a women's team there in the second division though. But
yeah,
I mean, it's only going to be a couple years before you got to think that they're at the top. With the backing of the men's teams, the women's teams are just going to flourish.
Christine Sinclair in studio with us. We'll tell you more about Burgers to Beat MS Day, which is coming up tomorrow in conjunction with the A&W. I know it's a team thing, but obviously you have been integral as far as Canada's success has been concerned. And frankly, we're going to need another you. Who's knocking on the door? Who's coming that's going to be able to replace you when you are no longer capable of delivering what you have done so wonderfully over the years?
You know, the interesting thing is, I think it'll be like there's a group of players that's the exciting thing that I think John introduced to our program was a pipeline of younger players, a pipeline for the under 15 national team players, the under 17 national team players to to be able to flourish when they make the full team. And you look at your Kadishas, Ashley, Jesse, Deanne, now Jordan. I mean, there is a very good crop of young players coming through our team, and that's the exciting part.
Do you reevaluate? You probably won't tell us and shouldn't tell us, but do you reevaluate after every major tournament how long you want to play for? Do you have a set? I mean, Olympics are obviously coming up again the year after the World Cup. I like that scheduling because the men are always playing major tournament every 2 years. But I like that oomph of like 14 months of a great tournament like the Women's World Cup. And then obviously it's best on best in Olympics, which the men don't obviously play.
Right. Yeah, no, for me, I mean, yeah, the World Cup's next year and then the Olympics are right after. It'd be silly to stop then, right? So, I mean, I'm as healthy as I've ever been, so that's the exciting part. So I'm just going to keep going.
So we'll guarantee you'll be in Tokyo.
Absolutely.
Okay.
If the team's there, I'm there.
I hope the team's there. Yeah.
Or I'm going to just watch.
That's right. A referee. Yeah. Referee.
No, absolutely not.
Does coaching enter into your radar? Do you think about it a lot? Even your how you inspire younger players. You know what that is like. Even starting at an under 19 level or a college level.
If you would have asked me this like 5 years ago, I would say no way. But
because you couldn't do it, or you didn't want to.
Just had zero interest in doing it. But now I want to lean towards yes.
Yeah.
And my pro team down in Portland's already offered me a job for when I stop playing. So.
Yeah, because I was thinking about that. Like you're at the point right now where I would imagine you're not a coach, but with the experience that you have and the younger players that are around you, they're looking for. They ask you, don't they? I mean, they talk to you as if you were kind of there already.
I mean, I guess so. Like, I like to help the younger players as much I can. There's, especially on the national team, there's like a group of five or six of us that have been around for a while that, you know, do everything we can to make sure the younger players are doing the right thing.
What kind of coach do you think you'd be?
Like, just like
kicking the garbage can over,
like making them
screaming,
making them run. Like, yeah, no, not at all.
Can you a slide, like on a goal, can you do a slide in, you know, like a pantsuit or something? Like we've seen Mourinho do that once in a while, even though he looks pretty stoic sometimes, right?
What did you do?
Well, I'm not thinking like a Hillary Clinton.
I was just going to say, I'm not Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, I know, but there are some coaches that dress up and there are some coaches just wear a tracksuit. Like Sir Alex Ferguson dresses differently than Andre Villas-Boas, right? Like a little different.
Oh.
In Spurs, you're just coaching in a sweatsuit. That's what happens.
Oh, gosh.
Hey. Somebody know that.
Trousers. Slacks?
Not trousers.
Who says slacks?
Pants?
There you go.
That's it.
Pants.
All right. Just don't wear flip-flops.
Don't
and
wear
shorts. Because you'll send him over
very
there.
Very anti. Yeah. The coaches can't coach in shorts. No matter how hot it is.
Just a lot of A&W teen burgers tomorrow. You'll be fine.
Yeah.
We'll all be fine.
Yeah.
We'll all be fine.
All right, so it's tomorrow. Canadians are asked to participate in Burgers to Beat MS Day. $2 for every teen burger sold across the country goes to the MS Society of Canada. You mentioned it's been 30 years since it's been so impactful for you and your family. What have you seen in 30 years? And all our medicine has gotten better. We're not where we were in the mid 80s. What specifically in your mind? What are some of the changes you've seen and heard of that have been wonderful in terms of MS research and development?
For me, just with my mom, is just the amount of support there is now. Anything she needs, you know, she can have access to, which I mean, I don't know. I was a kid when, you know, she was first diagnosed, so I don't know all the details of what was available then. But, she lives as a productive life as possible,
yeah.
And it's because of
How old
the
is she
support.
Now?
She'll kill me if I say it.
give us an estimate, an over under.
A like little more than 65, a little less than 70.
That's fantastic.
Nice.
Somewhere in there.
Okay.
She'll kill me. Sorry, Mom.
Well played. No, but it's an amazing achievement. That's what the point was. Yeah.
I can't go home now.
You're fine. No one will come up on in Brampton or Oakville and ask you the same kind of probing personal questions that I just asked. So we can't thank you enough for coming in, and it's a great campaign, and it's again, it's wonderful for us to have your air, especially. And you got a friendly, is it Ottawa, right? You got a friendly in Ottawa, a huge game
against Brazil. What is it? September 2nd.
It's September 2nd. Yeah, right on Labor Day weekend.
Yeah, it'll be a good one.
Yeah,
so, I mean, I feel like we play them all the time.
Well, when's the next time we wouldn't see you play the U.S. until the CONCACAF qualifying, right?
Until the final of that tournament, yep.
Hopefully.
Oh, yeah. Calling
Unless
right
the U.S.
There.
Stumbles and you get them in the semifinal and they play the top-seeded Canadians. Right. That could happen also.
Again, you can find Christine today at the A&W located at 369 Spears Road in Oakville from noon until 2 at Brampton at 120 Brickyard Way from 4:30 to 6:15, where you can enjoy a root beer float for a minimum $2 donation and have an opportunity to meet and take photos with Christine. For details, follow the hashtag BurgersToBeatMS on social media.
And good luck to the Thorns the rest of the season.
Thank you very much.
Rain won't stay ahead of you very long in the standings.
No,
I don't see that transpiring.
And the visiting teams, go to the games, especially when Portland comes to town, so there'll be more fans at the other. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.